Blog Talk Radio.
Forgiveness. And I really want to deal with this from the standpoint of family, you know, household on tonight, for the simple reason that as we are coming up, you know, fathers, mothers, children, you know, we can go through some things as a family, and a lot of times there needs to be a time of forgiveness within the family itself. You know, it's very easy to get caught up in our feelings, in perception, and to hold on to hurt that cause contention within the family. And so I know I growing up, there was a lot of contention. Well, I found out between my brothers and my sisters, you know, concerning the relationship of my mother and my father, and my father being an alcoholic, you know, and coming in and drinking up all the money and wanting to fight with my mother and, you know, taking it out on the kids and that kind of stuff. And a lot of the times these things are stemming from that person's own childhood, things that they grew up with, that they carry forward into their adult life. Sometimes it's a matter of they were never taught how to love, or their perception of love because of the examples that they were given. So, you know, for myself, as I said, my mother used to look, you know, we would say, why are you staying with this man? You know, he drinks up all the money. He comes in, you know, we're cooking, and we're trying to cook ribs, and he comes in pouring Ajax on the ribs, you know, drunk and that kind of stuff. You know, just crazy stuff. But she looked at him from the standpoint that, you know, because he was an alcoholic, that he was sick. And it would be like her throwing my sister out who had diabetes because, you know, she had diabetes. So this was the example that I had through my mother. You know, and, you know, she revealed some things to me, you know, after I got grown that, you know, it wasn't all his fault. You know, some things that she had done to him when they were younger, and these things had carried over. And, you know, it came a time, you know, and really the only thing that really healed our family to a degree. For me, I guess I've always been that one that water just rolls off my back. I don't really hold grudges. I mean, you got to really, really do something to me for me to hold a grudge. I mean, really, it's got to be serious. But when it's blood, as family, you know, I really, family is always first with me. And, you know, we can do things and say things to each other that hurt each other's feelings. And sometimes we just can't let those things go. But I want to deal with forgiveness from that standpoint tonight for the simple reason that, you know, a lot of us are in, you know, most of us got families that we're dealing with. And a lot of the times, you're trying to make the relationship work, trying to make, you know, the relationship between the husband and the wife work, the relationship between the father and the sons or the daughters work. And there's just some things that have happened that people won't let go of. And so we want to look at that tonight and see how do we deal with that from a spiritual standpoint. And then from a practical standpoint, because life is too short. Life is definitely too short to be, you know, holding grudges against blood, against those that you have taken in. As I said, you know, on Sunday night, my oldest, that I consider my oldest, she's not mine as far as biologically, but everything else. You know, I've never introduced her as my stepdaughter. Even after, you know, she got upset when she found out that I really wasn't her father. you know, I said, I'm going to always be daddy. I may not be your biological, but I'm going to always be daddy. And when you get over your feelings, I'll still be here. You know, and so I had to allow her time to go through that process in her own life where, you know, she was seeking out her father and trying to have a relationship with him. And then when she found out really what he was all about, you know, she came back to me. You'll always be daddy. You know, because you were here and you're still here. So, you know, it's sometimes you got to let people go through some things, go through their emotions, especially children, so that they can grow up and find out, well, hey, you know, maybe you weren't all that bad. Okay. With that being said, let us go through our statement of faith. We'll pray in. Let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. We thank you today. We thank you for keeping us, Father. We thank you for loving. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for being our Father, hallelujah, and for being always understanding and always ready to chastise those that you love, Father, hallelujah. You are Yah, and you are Elohim, and you're Elohim all by yourself, Father, and we just glorify you today, and we lift you up and magnify you, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for giving us and being willing to be a merciful and forgiving God for us. Hallelujah. We are facing toward the east, holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever and ever. Amen. Father, we have come tonight looking for the spirit of forgiveness. Father, we have prepared a place here for you. You are the one that knows all about this forgiveness. Truly, you have forgiven your people, even to the point that you would adopt us as sons, as children, into your kingdom. So, Father, we seek your face tonight. We ask that it would be you that would dispense this knowledge, this lesson, and help your people to heal. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. 1 Kings chapter 8, the book of 1 Kings chapter 8. Starting in verse 46. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried captive, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely, we have committed committed wickedness, and so returned unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, within the house which I have made, and the house which I have built for thy name. And hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carry them captive, that they may have compassion on them, for they be thy people, and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of the land from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant, and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth, to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. I'm going to play this song right now.
Stand together.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus.
Come on.
To break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain.
Yeah.
To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Let's say it together, there is power.
There is power. There is power in the name of Jesus,
yeah.
To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Declare and say,
to break every chain, break every chain, break every.
Now somebody lift your hands in the air right here.
There's an arm.
right. Amen. 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 Let us first understand that everything starts with the Most High Elohim. There is power in his name to break any chain, anything that is binding us, whether it is emotional, whether it is spiritual. We need that in this particular subject. So let's look and see what the Most High says about this first. Okay, and then we're going to talk about practical application of this. I'm going to use myself as the example, all right? So, use my own life as the example. All right, let's go to the book of Matthew. Chapter 6, and we're going to start in verse 12. The book of Matthew, chapter 6, starting in verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, this could be actually relating to money, but it also could be relating to people who have sinned against you. Because a lot of times the Most High relates sin as debt. The wages of sin is what? Death. So when we are in debt to the Most High, it's because we are owed him because of sin. And a sin that we couldn't pay for. We couldn't pay for it. Couldn't buy our way out of it. Our blood was tainted. So that verse has a duality or a dual meaning to it. You know, we were also supposed to forgive people who owed us money every 7 years. Forgive them the debt of forgiveness. But we're going to look at this from the standpoint of somebody who has offended us, who has treated us badly, to a parent that didn't raise us all the time and make all the best decisions. You know, we got to understand that we didn't come with owner's manuals. No child comes with an owner manual and, you know, how to treat this child. We have a feeling of how we want to treat them, and we have a feeling of how we were treated, okay? But no parents typically have children, have a manual that they go by. And every child, if you've had more than one child, you know they have different personalities. Different things motivate them. They all take the same, you know, you can have the same circumstance or situation happening, and each child will react to it differently. One might be super offended because they're sensitive in that area, and it don't affect the other one. That don't bother them at all. You know, and this is much the same with all the situations that we go through in life in relationships. You got to understand that for what we say and what we do, each and every one of us. And we have to also take into account that what we say and what we do, what effect it may have on someone else. And understand that they may not react to our words and what we say the same way we do. Maybe the words have different meaning to them. Maybe it has a different effect on them because of what they went through or how they identified. You know, you have different words that can mean the same thing but to different degrees. And we have to be very mindful and cognizant to recognize that the words that we may use for something may not have the same meaning for the person that's choosing not to use that meaning for that word. They're choosing to use a different meaning for it, which it could apply there as well. So just like this word debt could equal to money or it could equal to sin. You got to understand that when we are communicating with people, when we're dealing with them, when we are in relationship with them, we have to find out what meaning they have put to certain words. like love. Love don't mean the same thing to everybody. Trust me, it don't. Doesn't mean the same thing to everybody. So you have to find out what definition of love or what that person's definition of love is. To even know if you're loving them, because we might think we're loving them, but not according to their definition. We're loving them according to our definition, what it means to us. And so it is very important and critical that each person looks inside themselves and says, what does this word mean to me? What offends me? What makes me mad? What situation? Because as I said, same situation, different children, and they reacted different. Depending upon the age, depending upon what their understanding of the word was. And so we would have to be dealt with differently. So let's keep moving in the script. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. When we are dealing with people, it's very easy to be led down the wrong path with any one individual because of our expectations of people. Parents have different expectations of their spouse than they have of their children. They might expect their children to obey in everything because they're children and just feel like that's the way it ought to be. And so we might come at them differently than we would come at a spouse or a stranger. You're my child. Or I feel like I'm responsible for you. Like I said, with my oldest daughter, I never treated her any different than I did with the two that me and my wife had together ourselves. I would expect the oldest to be responsible, I expected her to be responsible. And I, you know, taught her that. Now, she didn't want to accept that because she didn't want to be the oldest. I don't want to be the oldest, but you are the oldest. You can't change that. You know, so I expect that you're going to look after the younger ones. If you're walking to school, I don't expect you to walk away from them and leave them unprotected. Those types of things. So the expectation, for me myself, my oldest brother has a different father than my oldest sister, and then the next six of us have the same father. So it was like a blended family. But that's where I got that from, because we never considered our oldest brother and our oldest sister as being stepbrothers and sisters. They were just our oldest brother and oldest sister. And so my oldest sister was like my mother. My oldest brother, you know, he was out and he was gone. You know, he's doing being a boy or being a man, whatever you want to call it, because he's 11 years older than me. So by the time I hit 10, he's grown. By the time I hit 10, my older sister is actually grown, but she really was the one at home raising us. Okay. And she was mean as a sister. But not really. Because, you know, kids, they be hard-headed. She was supposed to make sure the house was cleaned and all that kind of stuff, and she wasn't going to do it. She could make the younger ones do it. So even to this day, I mean, the relationship that we have is just we cannot talk for a year or two. And it's like we never didn't talk. You know, it's like we never skipped a beat. But all of my siblings were like that together. Okay, so there was things that happened in the family that, you know, we had to forgive each other for, learn to forgive each other for, because just the situation caused hard feeling. I mean, deep-seated feelings that, for me, for some of them, were hard to let go. So, but I had to turn around and forgive that person for the simple reason that it wasn't hurting them because they didn't even know. They didn't even know. So the ones that it was really affecting was me. Because I never articulated it to them, you know, hey, I got hard feelings behind this. But because they were, because he was my oldest brother, I let it go because it was only hurting me. And it wasn't important enough. You know, as time had passed by, it wasn't important enough to hold on to it. For the simple reason, nothing was going to change. Couldn't go back and undo it. You know, what happened, happened, and you can't, just some things you can't go back and undo. So you have to come to a point. At some point, you have to say, you know what? The only one this is really hurting is me. Every time I think about it, I'm the one getting mad. Every time I think about it, I'm the one that want to fight. And I had to say, you know what? I forgive you. And I'm not going to let this thing have power over me anymore to make me feel this way. And I can have a relationship, you know, again with my brother. And there'll be no animosity. You know, because life happens. And we get into situations, or we're taken into some situations. And when you look back at it, you'd be like, man, how did you do that? How did you do that to me? How did you get me involved with that? But then it comes down to, you know, just life. And so some things that are in the past that don't really matter, you can't change them. But if they're affecting you, if they're making you feel some kind of way, then our Father says that you need to forgive that person. Why? It's not really for them. It's for you. Because who's it affecting? Who's getting upset? Who's getting mad? Who can't move on? Who can't, you know, be in a civil conversation without, you know, rolling their eyes or having some type of attitude or having something because they're acting out of that hurt? And so sooner or later, you got to come to and say, you know, it's not taking any money out of my pocket. It's not taking any food out of my mouth. It's not taking the clothes off my back. It's not taking the roof from over my head. It's just my feelings are hurt. Then I need to let that go and forgive them, because when you truly forgive someone, then you are actually taking the power out of that situation to control how you feel. You're making the decision that I'm not going to let this affect me this way anymore. And from a family standpoint, this is crucial. This is important. You know, I don't care how your family is set up. It's family. You're living up under the same roof. And if you're living up under the same roof and it's always contention, it's always some type of anger, always some type of conflict, that makes for a very unhappy home. It really does. And, you know, when people get used to that, you can best believe that whomever it is, whether it's the parent or the child, they're going to, if it's a child, they're going to take it into the relationships that they grow into. So when they get into time to start dating and having a relationship, marrying, they're going to bring these same issues into that relationship because they never learn how to really to cope with it. You know, And silence is not really coping. Shutting it down is not really coping. We have to learn what things we need to hold on to and what things not to hold on to. If it's making you angry, if it's hurting your feelings, then for whoever it is, you need to say, you know what, I forgive you. I'm not going to let this affect me this way. And everybody has to understand, in most situations, I'm not saying all, I'm not saying this is an absolute, but in most situations, it takes two to tango. You said this, I did this, you reacted this way, I did this. Next thing you know, it's all blown up and we are super mad at each other and something was said and this person don't want to let go what was said and so forth and so on. Sometimes it's a matter of pride. I feel like the relationship ought to be this way. I'm the man and the relationship, you ought to be this way toward me. And yada, yada, yada. Because that's the way I feel that the relationship ought to be and that how my woman ought to treat me. And you don't treat me that way. You got to understand that, you know what? Certain things, you got to understand that your spouse, maybe that's not the way that they were taught to love. Maybe that's not even love to them. What you're expecting. Maybe that's not even love, what you're expecting. And so, as I said, we have to define these things amongst ourselves. Set the expectation. You know, when it comes to father-son or parent and child relationships, if we were raised a certain way. Trust, that's how we know how to raise kids. We don't have any other template to go by. We can look at somebody else's family and we can say, oh, I like the way they, you know, that looks. But that don't mean that you can do that if you never were taught to do it. So we usually raise our kids in some degree the way we were raised. If we were raised in a harsh environment and we didn't like it, that doesn't mean that we're going to be super easy on our kids. Doesn't mean that. It means we might treat them less harsh than we were treated. But guess what? That might be more harsh than the next house. But to us, it's not as harsh because we didn't grow up. We grew up harsher in a more strict environment, a harder environment. And so a lot of times we need to consider how we were raised. How did my mother and my father raise me? I think I got a whipping from my father once in my life. About three or four times from my mother, and one time she used an extension cord because I got some grass stains in some brand new pants, and she wore my butt out with that extension cord. And you best believe I don't want no more of that. Now, growing up, now when it comes to my kids, I wouldn't use an extension cord on them, but I also wouldn't withhold discipline either. If it called for that, but it can't be discipline all the time. Can't be corporal punishment all the time. Because sooner or later, they get used to that as well. And they'll rebel against that. Sooner or later, they get big enough, and that don't have an effect. And so then, as a parent, you might need to look at, okay, what motivates this child? And I might need to discipline them a different way. Maybe it's time to really just start talking to them as a person. As a person. And understanding that they're your child, but still, sometimes I know people today, kids 30, late 20s, 30 years old, they still looking at their kids as kids. Like, that's a grown person you're talking to. But to them, they haven't moved out of that. You know, I'm mom, and they're just going to talk to them that way. Like, no. That's a grown person now. You need to start treating them as they're grown. But I've always been age appropriate as well to deal with my kids as, you know, age appropriate. But, you know, some things can be said in the heat of an argument. Your child says something to you that just irks you. And now from the parent standpoint, you want to go at them from that standpoint. And sometimes these things are hurtful, especially if we're in positions where, okay, I'll give you a classic example, my life again. When I was single, I knew a lot of brothers that dated women that already had kids. And I said, I would never do it. Now, see what happened to me. But I said, I would never do it. Why? Because if I'm in a relationship, even then, when I was in the world, if I was in a relationship with you and I'm paying the rent and I'm putting the roof over everybody's head and I'm helping you with your children, then I want them to respect me. As a man, they don't have to call me daddy, but they still got to give me respect. And I never, you know, if I'm going to, I would treat your child whether like it was mine. So we go into the store, or we go into the park, or we're going fishing, or we're going wherever. I'm going to protect them like they were mine because they belong to you and I wanted to be with you. We were in that relationship. Okay, that's the way I was always. So what I didn't want to hear was the kids, you know, I'm telling the kids to do something. They say, you can't tell me nothing. You ain't my daddy. Oh, then, you know, I'm going to be hotter than fish grease at that point. Because you have disrespected me. And I'm looking out for your best interest, and I'm not mistreating you. You know, I'm not going to try to discipline you without your mother say so. So if a child told me that, then yeah, I would have a big issue with it, especially when I'm looking out for their well-being. Now, I have to understand that just because this woman has accepted me as the man of the house don't mean that her children will. Because most children want to have a relationship with their own parents. So there's already some animosity there. You know, these feelings may come out. You can't tell me what to do. You ain't my daddy. I ain't got to do what you tell me to do. And when we get into blended families, those things are most likely to happen. So I said, I would never, ever date a woman with children. And I ended up marrying one with one. But from day one, I never told my oldest daughter to call me dad. She chose to call me dad. Greatest sound to me in the world is when she first called me daddy. But I didn't tell her to do that. She chose to do that herself. So it wasn't something I demanded. It's something that she saw and recognized by the way that I treated her. Now, later on, you know, because I never told her and my wife never told her that she wasn't mine. She was like 2 years old, 18 months old when I met her. And then we got married, about 2 years old. And I never told her that, you know, that I wasn't her father. I never introduced her as, like I said, my stepdaughter. Never treated her like that. As far as she knew, I was daddy. She had I wasn't going to discipline her after we were married. If she did something bad, she got disciplined. And then when the first child that I and my wife had together came along, this is your brother, not your stepbrother, but your brother. And so were there some things that came up that happened that caused hard feelings? Yes. When she found out that I wasn't really her father, she went through some changes. You'll start acting out. And I knew what it was from, and I was like, okay, I understand. But she never once said, you ain't my dad. Not once. And when she was 15 or 16 years old at this point. But I, you know, I told her, I said, hey, you need to pursue a relationship with your father. You know, you deserve to have that. And as I said, later on, she came back to me and said, yeah, you're daddy. He fathered me, but you're daddy. You always been here. You always, you know, when I was hurt, when I was going through whatever in a relationship, you were always the one here. And so there were some things that, you know, other things that happened that had to be forgiven, had to be understood by me from my standpoint as the parent, that this is a child with emotional problems. And I'm not talking about mental problems, but everybody has feelings. Everybody's going to feel a certain way about certain things, even your child. And they may develop those feelings outside of what you taught them because you're not the only influence in their life. Especially today with the internet and, you know, kids growing up as fast as they do. So from a parent standpoint, you got to understand that when you're dealing with your child, whether they are yours biologically or not, you got to allow space for them to grow, for them to have their own feelings. And they may be separate and apart from yours, different than what you think. But you got to allow that and be, if you are going to be a good parent, just be a good parent. The other stuff can be forgiven if we don't ourselves become the root of the problem because we get caught up in our feelings. You should respect me or love me because I made the conscious decision to take care of you. Maybe I didn't want you as my daddy. Maybe I needed to have time to grow into that. You have to allow for them to have those feelings. And if you're a good father, a good mother, because this goes both ways, then just be that good parent. And give the child what it is that they need, which is the love. They'll come back and they'll see it. It might take some time. They have to grow in and out of their feelings as well. Now, when we are bringing stuff ourselves from our own childhood that we haven't healed from into a relationship, and there's children there, and we ourselves are still children, mentally, emotionally, in some regards, we could be grown in body and still emotionally a child because we got hurt, because we got abused, because we weren't shown genuine love. For whatever the reason, whatever it was, no house is perfect. Trust me, no house. But when we start to grow up and we start getting into relationships, then those same things that burdened us as a child, if we have not gotten over them, we will bring them into the relationship. And the same way that we were raised, we will still raise our children that way to some degree because it's what we know. It's what we learned. It's what we saw. And so we may not do everything exactly the way that our parents did, but we're going to carry some of those traits, whatever it was, into that relationship. I can see somebody, male or female, because, you know, we got it both ways today, where father has kids, brings them into a relationship, mother has kids, bring them into a relationship, they get married, got this blended family, and most of the time, again, we're not talking, there's no absolutes, so I don't want anybody to say, oh, he said this. No, no absolutes, okay? Degrees of everything. But sometimes one of the parents may not accept the children that are not theirs, especially if they don't feel like that child is giving them what it is that they think that they should be having from the child. But we as parents have to always remember we are the grown ones. So you might not feel that this child, let's say, respects you. What are you doing to earn that child's respect? I don't have to earn their respect. They're a child. No, that's not true. That's not true. And so sometimes we need to look at the situation and say, you know what? This is how I want to be treated. And this is what this is how I'm going to be treated, but then I need to do the things that make that happen. It's just like I said, you know, why did the Most High do the things the way that he did it? He could have made us robots and said, you are, you will love me. And it would just be so. But that would be empty. Because whatever that is loving you because you said love you, but you don't know if you didn't tell them that or make them do that, that if they would really love you. So that's a form of, I don't know what you call that, but that's a form of control. I'm just going to demand because you are a child that you love me. No. You need to do the things that would make that child love you. If you have to start off being friends. You know, like I told my children, all of them, I ain't your friend. From day one, this was not something that was new to them. I'm daddy. And when I say move, that's what I mean, move. Now, we can laugh and joke and play. And, you know, we're going to go do all these things together. Well, when I say something from day one, they understood I meant what I said. And it was, you know, never this thing of I'm going to confront you in this way. For the simple reason, I was showing them love at the same time. You know, we went to dinner. We went to, you know, fishing. I went to their track meets and basketball games, and I filmed them and, you know, talked to them about life. As, you know, and not from an authoritarian position unless it needed to be. But I treated them like little people. But I said, you know, I look at life like this. If this was caveman days, and if you were a disobedient little cave child and you ran outside the cave and I had told you not to go out and some lion ate you, there would be nothing I could do about that because you were disobedient. So I expect that you would be the same way now. If I say something, I mean what I say. I say what I mean. If I make a promise to you that I'm going to take you someplace, we're going to go do this, we're going to go do it. I'm not going to break my word to you because I want your respect and I want you to understand that, you know, unless this is an extreme emergency, if I told you I'm going to do something or we're going to go do something, we always would have did it. And, you know, that would, you know, like I said, for my oldest daughter, up until the time she was 15 or 16, she never knew she was not mine. There was no different treatment between her and the other kids. And I treated her how I expected an oldest child to, you're going to be in charge. You need to look over the youngest ones. Look out for their well-being. That's the way I had to be. My, you know, I got six siblings up under me. As I said, my oldest two, they were 10 and 11 years older than me. So by the time we hit 10, they were basically grown. The other ones were looking to me. My father made me responsible if my sisters got pregnant. He didn't hold them responsible. He held me responsible. And up until the day that I left for the military, who the hell no boys hanging around the house? My sisters, oh, she's not on the line right now. She usually calls in and listens, one of them. But they hated me for a minute because they couldn't have no relationships. Even after I'd gone into the military, I'd come home on leave. I'd drive up. What are you talking about? What are you doing sitting in my driveway? And even after they got married, a lot of their husbands be like, uh-uh. They used to call me Cheek. They said, Cheeks is home. We leave it. So that was the relationship between my brothers and my sisters and I. So, but my parents, my father was an alcoholic. And what he thrived on intelligence. So he would come in drunk, asking questions, and if you couldn't answer the question, you might have got slapped. I didn't get slapped too many times. I don't think ever. Because I used to be a voracious reader. But my brother up under me, he had a totally different experience. And he couldn't stand our father. Same father, same household. And so after he got grown, he and I talked. And, and we discovered that, hey, we had a totally different experience. And our view on our father was different. So I told him, I said, you had to understand it. I said, so, you need to forgive him. Just like my mother told me, hey, when he used to do all this stuff, when I was younger, I used to have my brothers jump on him and beat him up. What? Yeah. So, sometimes everything doesn't appear to be as it is. And if we're honest, then we have to go back and say, okay, I can see this and I can understand it, and I can understand why you reacted some of the ways that you reacted, and I can forgive you for those. I can forgive you because I understand. We might have things between siblings that because we were kind of rivals, maybe we weren't the parents' favorites. Parents ain't supposed to have a favorite, but we know that ain't always true. So maybe we weren't the favorite. Maybe we got treated a little bit different than the other, and we're blood. No step here, no, different parent. But because of the way your personality is, I learned, kids are born they're born with a certain personality already. Then there's some things they learn, but, some of the things they were born with, they were born that way. And so we have to take all those things into account. And maybe this parent just didn't like that trait in that child. And so they treated that child a certain way, maybe consciously or subconsciously. And it wasn't that they didn't love them. It's just that I don't like this particular trait, or I like this one and this one, this particular trait in this child, but I don't like this particular trait in that child. Okay, example, my son. my son came out of the womb, I have to say, a male chauvinist. Came out the womb that way. A woman couldn't tell him nothing. A female teacher could not tell him anything. And he came out that way. And I had to, you know, I didn't notice it until he had some male teachers. And I'm like, why is he doing so well with these male teachers? And then with the female teacher, he was not, mm-mm. And then my wife was like, I got problems with him. But then I also understood, too, that my wife had problems because of her bringing up with boys. You know, her parents played favorite to the boys and treated the girls as less than. And some of these things you don't find out until, you know, you're already in the situation. You're already married. You don't know, you know, that does not come up. So you don't know. And you sort of learn it as you are, you know, living life in the marriage. And so now you realize that, hey, I got to deal with these things with my spouse because this is how she came up. And now I can understand maybe more so why she reacts to certain things a certain way that I probably knew but didn't really understand until I saw her interacting with our son. So, you know, it ain't all the time. These things can be in your natural family. Now, when it, you know, when a man or a woman comes into a relationship and there's already children there, and if they don't accept the children that are there already as their own, if they're going to be biased between, you know, because of these children and they're not his or her, then you're going to have problems. You have problems with the children because they can feel it. They know it. And those things, you know, as a, I'll speak from the man's position. From the man's position, if we're going to be the head, we have to be the head in everything. That means that we have to be the first to apologize. We have to be the first to say, I'm sorry. We have to be the first to take ownership of the situation. What is my part in this? What have I been doing? What have I been saying that might cause this child or my wife to react this way? As the head, we are supposed to take ownership of that. Can't be pointing fingers at them saying, it's your fault, or you said this, or you did that. They may have said that, may have done that. And you have to deal with it appropriately. If you didn't cause it, then you still have to deal with it from the standpoint, why did you act that way? Why are you reacting that way? What happened to you to cause you to react this way? Why do you think the way that you think? Why do you react to these situations this way? And most of the time, it's something concerning how we grew up, how we were treated, what expectation somebody had on us. And I think the psychologist called it your core values, the things that you learn between 2 and 5 or 6. The core values. You have to bring those things and say, okay, this is how I really feel about any given particular subject. And this is why I feel that way. Sometimes people don't know. They don't know that they got it from their father or their mother, or maybe they were just born that way. But when these emotions, when these personality traits, conflict with other people, and we get hurt emotionally, depending upon the level of the hurt and how much it goes against what we believe is truly right and wrong. You're just wrong for that. This, you know, no matter how, what you say, this person is caught up in that. It's that offensive to them. And when it's between parent and child, a lot of the times the child is left with, I'm grown and you not. So deal with it. But then later on, when we are suffering from these things, when we are seeing the side effects from them, then we want to wonder, you know, this situation just keeps getting worse and worse and worse because we didn't really deal with, we offended this child to that degree. And because we're grown, we don't have to deal with it. So it comes a time, those are growing pains. Maybe you started that way and then you learned. But you still never went back and dealt with what had already been started. Sometimes we got to go back and say, okay, I know where this started at. And I was wrong. I didn't look at them as a child. I did, but not really. I've caught up in my own hurt, in my own expectations. And I didn't look at this little person as a person. I just looked at them from what I expected from them. Kids are smarter than I know. I was a lot smarter than people gave me credit for. And sometimes we don't look at children that way. So sometimes we have to go back later and say, okay, maybe I was wrong for the way that I dealt with you. Maybe I was angry at you because I felt like you weren't as my child or me being in charge or the head of the house, you weren't respecting me the right way. So if you're going to give me a hard time, I'm going to give you a hard time. And if you're the one in control, if you're the grown-up, then you can probably give the child more of a hard time than they give you, especially if they're not really trying to 100% be, you know, rebellious. So we might take out some things on them in a nonviolent way. I'm going to make you do three times the chores because I don't like the way you're treating me. That only makes the situation worse. And then as a child, once we start to mature some, we look and say, oh, my actions probably, I did this intentionally, my actions probably caused this person to treat me this way. So there's always more than one person involved and more than one person at fault. When we can't take responsibility for our own actions, then we got problems. So this all begins with, to heal over this stuff, it all begins with forgiveness. From the standpoint of the child, from the standpoint of the parent, from the standpoint of the husband, from the standpoint of the wife, we need to let these ill feelings go. Because each individual, the child, the parent, the husband, the wife, each individual is probably reacting out of their own, from their own place, their own hurt. And anytime a particular situation comes up, then we choose how we're going to react to it. And if we're reacting out of hurt, if we're reacting out of malice, out of hate, out of rebellion, because I just want to rebel. I don't want to do what you say do. I don't want to hear what you got to say. You're choosing to do that yourself. You're choosing to react that way. Each person is responsible for how they react in any given situation. It takes two to argue. Now, a person can argue by themselves, but it takes two to argue. And usually when we're arguing from that position of hurt, that position of pain, that position, I feel you wronged me. Look what the Most High says. Go back to Matthew chapter 6. Verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. We want the Most High to forgive us for our sins. But we got a hard time forgiving somebody else for theirs. Their sins against us. He said, you have sinned against me. And I forgive you your sins. He said, now, if you forgive others their trespasses against you, I'll forgive you your trespasses against me. This is what he demands. So no matter what, when we want to hold on to the anger, the hurt, the pain, we want to hold on to those negative emotions. They make you sick. They make you mentally ill. And the Most High said, let them go. Forgive that person. Let them go. Let's keep reading. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Wait a minute. You angry at the spouse. You angry at your friend. You angry at your child. You angry at your mother. You angry at your father. You angry at your cousin. Whoever you are angry at or hurt or feel like you've been hurt by, and you're holding on to that stuff, and you swear, I'm going to get them back. I'm gonna get them back. You ain't getting away with this. Don't think that the Most High is going to ever forgive you your sin, because you're not a forgiving type of person. He says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You want to be forgiven for your sin? Your Heavenly Father says, forgive them for theirs against you. Now, forgiveness is not for them. It's for you. Because as long as you harbor that hate, that anger, that pain, you're going to react out of that. You're going to be living out of that. How can you show somebody love when you're always angry? How can you show somebody forgiveness when you don't yourself feel like you owe anybody forgiveness they owe you? How are you going to ever be able to help somebody when you are harboring this deep-seated hurt or pain or hate, whatever it is? So the forgiveness is not for them, because, truth be told, if they even know that you got hard feelings, even if they know, they'll say they forgave you, but you ain't forgiven them. You're the one that's running around hurting all the time. You're the one that anytime something is said a certain way that is getting angry, You're the one that's having this emotional, this mental and emotional, intellectual problem. Because they have moved on. And because you won't forgive, you're stuck in the past. Can't move on. A lot of times, you know, what I think what a lot of people, as I said, fail to understand. You can forgive and love somebody from a distance if that's what it calls for. I need peace of mind. I forgive you for everything that we've gone through, but I can't be around you. Why? Because I can be around you this long, but you might say or do something that opens up that old wound. It's healed right now, but you might open it back up. Because maybe they didn't care. Just didn't bother them. We don't never know. We're only responsible for ourselves. You can't control nobody else. So you have to be careful for your own peace of mind, your own mental health. So your father says, you want to be forgiven? You forgive. And that would be for all of us. So none of us can say that we are children of the Most High Elohim and we harbor these types of feelings for anyone. Let's continue. So we just read, if you forgive not men that their trespasses, neither will your father forgive you your trespasses. Let us go to the book of Matthew chapter 18. The book of Matthew chapter 18. And let's start with starting verse 21. Matthew chapter 18, starting in verse 21. Now, I'm going to lay this out first before we read it. And I want you to understand that it's crucial that we are forgiving people. He didn't say we had to be stupid or dumb. But it's crucial that we're forgiving, especially when it comes to our sin and the sins of others. People, you know, churches out there that teach once saved, always saved. Once saved, once the Father has accepted you, He'll never leave you or forsake you unless, they don't want to hear that unless, you don't forgive people their trespasses against you. He said, I will put yours right back on you. Let's read this parable. And he does it from the standpoint of money. Okay, but at the end of the parable, he tells you what that money represents. So each of us as individuals, especially with our family, our loved ones, the ones that you know, we say we have responsibility for, this is really with everybody. But, you know, if you can't do this in your own home, how are you going to do this with anybody else? Okay, so let's read this. Then came Peter to him and said, Master, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Yeshua said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore, here is the kingdom of heaven likened to. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. And we've read this before, but I want to make sure that we get this. Because you could be doing everything you need to do. And then somebody come along and transgress against you, and you don't want to let it go. Like I said, you can choose to love somebody from a distance. You can choose to not love them. He didn't say you got to love them, but don't hate them. That don't mean that you got to have a relationship with them either after things have gotten ugly. I forgive you. You did me wrong. I forgive you. I'm not going to hold it against you. But that don't mean I got to be in a relationship with you either. Because, see, a lot of times, you know, especially when it comes to male-female relationship, and somebody will do something so hurtful to that person, do something so hurtful to them that they shouldn't be around them anymore. And then we hear, oh, I need to forgive them. Well, if I forgive them, then we go back to the relationship as normal. Not if it's not a normal type of sin. You know, because people can take things too far. So I'll give you a classic example. You go get into a relationship with this man. Y'all married. And then you catch him messing with your daughter in a way he ought not mess with her. It's hard to forgive that. Let's say you pulled it within your heart to forgive him. That don't mean that you got to stay there in that and expose your daughter to that. That type of situation. That's just an example. Read this. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. And we're just going to say that's $10,000, okay? But for as much as he had not to pay, his man didn't have the money to pay, his master commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. So, this is why I asked this question. I'm going to ask a question, and you'll see the answer to it in this parable. If I loan you $10,000, and then I say I forgive you that debt, do you still owe me? Let's find out. Let's continue to read. But with this understanding, I loaned you $10,000 and I forgave you that $10,000 debt. Do you still owe me? Verse 27 again. Then the Lord, or the master of that servant, was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pennies, a dollar. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest me. Pay me what you owe me. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought or begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told their master all that was done. Then his master, after he had called him, and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you desired me. Remember, he was forgiven. Should not thou have also had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I pitied you? And his Lord was angry, wroth, angry with him, and delivered him to the torment. Till what? Till he should pay all that was due him. But you forgave me that debt. So let's talk about this for a second, so that we understand how sin actually works. When we sin against the Most High, when somebody transgresses against us, and we forgive them, and then they come and transgress again, he says, forgive them. But when we see them treat somebody else the same way they treated us, you can call that debt back on them. See, the only way for this man not to owe his master was to pay his master back. As long as he was forgiven the debt and he didn't pay it back, he was still a debtor. He was just a forgiven debtor. Still a debtor. Still got that debtor status on him. I'm a forgiven debtor. And I'm going to be in debt to you my whole life unless I pay this back. When I pay it back, I'm no longer a debtor. So the king could call this debt back on him. This is what your heavenly Father says he does. Let's see if that's true. Verse 35. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. He's going to put your debt, all of it, back on you. Once he puts that debt back on you, there ain't no such thing as debtor's prison in the lake of fire. You don't go in the lake of fire and work off your debt and come out. Once the Most High puts this debt back on you, the judgment is the lake. And you don't get to go into the lake and work it off. You are in there forever. But the Most High says, I will put your sins back on you if you don't find it within your heart to forgive those who have trespassed against you. Person is unjust. He calls this person wicked. They just don't have nothing for anybody, really. Even when they're looking like they're treating somebody good, it's not because they're really treating them good, because without an ulterior motive, they expect to get something out of you. They want to use you for something later on, but it's not genuine. Because when you see them interact with other people, you see that, you know what? This person really don't care about other people. They really only care about themselves. And so when I forgave them, they couldn't forgive other people. Technically speaking, you could take back your forgiveness, because they have shown that they don't play by the same rules. The Most High says, hey, I forgave you all that sin. I forgave you all that debt. But then you likewise, when it came to somebody that had trespassed against you, you couldn't do it. You're going to hold them accountable. Therefore, now I'm going to hold you accountable. We want to be like our Heavenly Father. If any of us is angry with someone because they hurt me, they said something wrong to me, they trespassed, they sinned against me, he says, forgive them. As I said before, sometimes it comes down to the point where you forgive them, but you can't really be in a relationship with them. You can't be, you don't have to be around them. You know, if it's a friend, we don't have a problem with that. We just stop coming around. And when it's family, it's harder. But we even got family members that I've seen families where I don't really associate with them. I don't have nothing against them, but I don't really associate with them. Maybe they're doing stuff that we don't approve of. Maybe they're, you know, the partiers and the drunkards and the brawlers. You know, there's always some mess going on. They just choose not to be around them. If they come to you, you know, for help or whatever, if you can, you help them. So when we're looking at forgiveness, whether it is parent and child or husband and wife, if we are holding animosity on any point, on any level, especially if you are living in the same house and you don't want the Most High to come against you, then you need to forgive them. That don't mean everything's got to go back to the way it was. Especially if we know we ought not be there. Sometimes we just have to agree to be what? Agreeable. But for your own sanity's sake, for the sanity's sake of the house, forgive them. Sometimes we have to say, you know what? Things have gotten so bad. I still love you, but you know what? We always at each other's throats. You say the slightest little thing, and you know what to say, and it triggers me, and I just go off. Because we have these underlying things that are festering. We might need to say, you know what? We need to take a time out. You know, we haven't been listening to each other for a minute. And we've just been going through the motions. Don't want to be around you, can't leave. Or don't want to be around you, don't want to leave. Been in this thing too long, whatever the case may be. You might need to step back and say, you know what? I don't want to go to the lake. I don't want to see no hurt come to me. I forgive you. I forgive you for this. Every time you say this, I just go off. Why? Because you made me so mad that it's a trigger now. We've been talking about this thing so many times, it's a trigger now. And sometimes you say that I ain't even mad, but I still react the same way. Why? Because it's a trigger. And I need to stop this. It's not good. I forgive you. I forgive you for making me feel like that. I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive myself for acting that way. So see, a lot of times the hardest thing to do is to forgive ourselves. We know when we were wrong. And sometimes in order to get over the situation, we must also forgive ourselves. If we repented of that act and we've turned away from it and people still just want to hold us accountable for it, or we want to hold ourselves accountable for it, but because we're holding ourselves accountable for it, we can't move forward. We're still stuck back at that place. Sometimes we have to forgive ourselves. You know, so I want each and every person listening tonight, look in the mirror. Look at yourself first. If you're married, then look at your spouse. And think about, Am I doing things that are causing contention and I know it and I just continue to do it because I know it irks them, or I just don't care anymore, or I'm so mad at them that I got caught up in this and I just don't know how to stop? And tell them, I'm sorry for the way that I've been acting. I'm sorry for how I treated you. Can you forgive me? And then tell them that you forgive them for the things that they have done that have offended you. And let it go. Make the conscious decision that from this day forward, we're just going to be better toward each other. We got to work at being better with each other. Tired of being angry every time I see you. Tired of getting upset when this ain't done or that ain't done. Tired of getting upset whenever I see you on the phone. Tired of being angry with your family, with my in-law. You know, one of the things that probably kills some people is when you love them to death. When you tell them I love you when they don't say it to you. Even when it's an in-law. You know I love you. And I don't care how evil or wicked that you act toward me. I'm still going to love you. And leave it at that, because you don't want to have that animosity, that hatred. That stuff eats at you like a cancer. And a lot of people are sick behind these types of feelings, these type of negative emotions. Sick in their own body. Because they're holding on to all this negativity. And sometimes, you know, a person is just so negative that, you know, hey, love you, but being around you ain't good for me. Because you don't want to change. You want to stay negative. And it's making me sick. I'm physically getting sick. Because you can't be a forgiving person. So forgiveness. It's not for them, whoever them is, it's for you. So that you can move on in your life and not let those have those negative feelings, not let react to the situation. May have been one day old, may have been 10, 30 years old. Don't matter. Been in it that long. Your Heavenly Father said, hey, if you don't let it go, everything you ever did that was wrong, I'm going to put it back on you. We as the saints of the Most High cannot react like the world. See, in the world will teach you to hold a grudge. If the world would teach you to be vindictive, I'm going to get this person back. You can't hurt me like that and get away with it. You can't disrespect me that way and get away with it. You can't hurt my feelings that way and get away with it. That's not what the Most High told you to be, not the way he told us to do. So we as the people of the Most High, sometimes you got to work at forgiveness just like you got to work at love. Yeah, somebody can hurt us that bad that, hey, yeah, I need to work on this. I'm going to make a conscious effort. I'm going to forgive you. And the thoughts are still there. They're still raw. But day by day, I'm going to get better. I'm not going to let you send me to the lake. So take the time. Every family has these issues to some degree. Every friendship has these issues to some degree. Because, you know, even as friends, we can say something and upset our friends. We got too close. We knew some things. We said some things. We offended this person or that person. To please ask for their forgiveness. We need to say we're sorry and ask for their forgiveness. And then if they have offended us, we need to say, I forgive you. Even if they don't ask for forgiveness, I forgive you because I don't want to react out of this from this position. I don't want to be an angry person. I don't want to be a vengeful person. I don't want to always have these negative thoughts running through me. Blood pressure all up high and everything because I refuse to forgive. Sometimes we just got to make a conscious effort to let it go. I'm going to love you in spite of. And even if I have to love you from a distance, if you need me, call me. If you don't need me, don't call me. Sometimes we got to go there. Father, Son, look at each other and forgive each other. Child, you didn't come with a manual. And son, truth be told, this is how I was raised, and it's affecting me. I mean, like I said, to use myself as an example, I didn't grow up with a whole lot. Like I said, my father drank it up. Me and my brother used to have to wear the same underwear, literally. I didn't have my underwear, and he had his underwear. We just had underwear. Same clothes. Shoes get worn out. Well, you got one pair of shoes, maybe two, in a year. I mean, that's how I grew up. I went overboard with my kids. I said, you know, I never wanted them to want for anything. So I made sure that I made it to where they didn't want for anything. But then I saw the problem in that, too, because they kind of grew up not really appreciating some things. They're taking it for granted. Get something, just throw it on the floor. Whereas me, you give me something, I value it. I don't care who it is. I'm going to put it up somewhere. And you can come back 10, 15 years as long as I'm on this earth. I'm going to still have that because I'm going to value it because you gave it to me. And so they have a hard time understanding. I got some things of my mother and my father's that, you know, to them, it don't have much value. But because it belonged to my mother and my father, it has much value to me. So, you know, there's no perfect way because I see that in some ways I spoiled them and they don't have appreciation for the same appreciation I have for when I buy things or I get things to take care of it. But so then I tell them, I say, hey, there came a point where I was like, hey, I know how to make you appreciate what you got. Now you got to buy it. And I'm no longer buying it. And when you got to spend your hard-earned money for it, maybe you'll appreciate it a little bit more. But that can also be your spouse and your marriage too. Maybe they may take for granted what you do for them. And you feel like they're taking you for granted because they don't show appreciation for what you do. You get animosity, you get hurt behind it. But then you got to look at how did they grow up. Did they get whatever they wanted? How did they grow up? Did they grow up appreciating? Maybe they're just an unappreciative person. I don't know. But I know, for like I said, for my family, my children, I know that I never wanted them to lack for anything because of the way that I grew up lacking. So not that, how do I say this, not that they had every single thing that, you know, no, it wasn't like that. But, you know, they never went without food. They never went without clothes. They never went without, you know, toys and those types of things. The things that I liked when I was growing up. But again, as I said, I see the negative side of that as well. So when it's in the relationship, like I said, that's what I wanted to do to my kids. So I don't have any animosity towards them. I just sort of said, okay, I see. So I see how to correct this. You'll appreciate it, and you got to pay for it. Same way with my wife. First month we were married, he ran the phone bill up to $1,200. First month. I was like, you know what? I said, I got a cure for this. I said, next time you want to dress, go pick it out. And she's never been, you know, expensive. She's never been really expensive shopping. I can give her that. But she come back, she said, oh, this is the dress I want. I said, all right, this is better than that $1,200 bill. Because I ain't paying for nothing until you pay that off. So you don't do that again. Because I was like, I can't be doing this every month, $1,200 phone bill. So, that being said, what time we got? 6:54. Let's bow our heads. Father Yah, you know the hearts of all men, all women, all children. You know the things that have happened that have injured some, that have wounded some, that have bruised some. Father, you know you are the great healer. Help each and every person look into their own situation, into their own hearts. If there's anything that they are still holding on to that someone did to them, said to them, that they are carrying to today, and they need freedom from it. Put it within that person's heart to forgive whoever it was, that they might begin to heal and to mend and to become whole, that they might mend relationships, that they might be able to look in the mirror and not feel some certain way about themselves. Help them to forgive themselves. You are the only judge that we have. It is you that we must come before. And we can hide nothing from you. So, Father, help them to become better people, to make their lives more peaceful, to bring joy back into their life, all through the simple act of forgiveness. Help each and every person forgive whomever it was, whoever it was, no matter if it was one or whether it was many. Whomever has trespassed against them, help them to be like you and forgive those people, that we might heal and move forward. You have said, if we don't forgive those who have trespassed against us, you will not forgive us our trespass. And even if you have already forgiven us our trespasses, if somebody trespassed against us and we refuse to forgive them, you said that you would put our trespasses back on us. Let each and every person understand that. We all need the forgiveness of the Most High, and we cannot afford not to be forgiven by him, which means that we cannot afford not to forgive everybody that has trespassed against us. Help us in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. Amen and amen. All right. I pray that somebody got something out of this. I pray that it helps you because we got many, many families going through this anguish, you know, publicly. Everything looks fine. Privately, it's a war zone. Nobody wants to live in a war zone and be shell-shocked their whole life, live up under that kind of pressure day in and day out. It's not good for anyone. And so each of us, we have to be willing to forgive. And it needs to be a conscious effort. A conscious effort. I forgive you. I'm going to let it go. Tired of being angry. Tired of feeling hurt. Tired of looking at you like, I want to kill you. Just want to have some peace. Follow the words of your Father, your Heavenly Father, and forgive that you might be forgiven also. With that being said, we will meet again on Thursday night for family business bylaw review. I pray that we can all be there. We need to get the stepping. Friday night Sabbath service as normal. And this week again, Sunday, spiritual wellness. So I pray that we can be there so that we can deal with these types of issues to the healing of the people. We get help, we're able to help somebody else. That being said, may the Most High encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you first, but the Most High loves you way more. Shalom, family.
Water baptized, get dumped. I feel with the rock and now I'm drunk. luck. Oh, one time, push a buck. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibration. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You're always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in God.
Kingdom will reign.